58 Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am profoundly honored to have with me in the studios today a faculty colleague from Carthage College, Dr. Yuri Maltsev, professor of economics, someone who has been on the morning show before, actually any number of times, but I'm pretty certain that the timing has never been more perfect, more propitious than it is today. It is so good to have Professor Maltsev here to talk about, of course, the conflict that has drawn the attention of really the entire world, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And Dr. Yuri Maltsev, as someone from that region originally and who knows so much about it, is here in our studios today to offer his perspectives on this conflict, on what is going on in the troubled, deranged mind of Mr. Putin, and how this conflict has proceeded thus far, and what might be ahead, of course. And there is no way really, of course, to know with any certainty exactly what is ahead, especially when someone like Vladimir Putin is one of the chief players. And there are many aspects of this that we need to cover. And so without further ado, Professor Maltsev, I'm pleased to welcome you back to the morning show. Thank you for making time for this.
Oh, thank you, Greg. Always nice to be here.
I want to just start out by having you talk a little bit about something you mentioned off air, which is that you are finding yourself having to talk about this quite a lot, not just with the general public, but actually you are, in a sense, being extensively used as a consultant and offering your perspectives in a lot of important places. Could you just say a little word about that kind of consulting work that you are doing when it comes to this particular matter of the war between Russia and Ukraine?
Yes, I think that in the United States we have a lot of misconceptions about Mr. Putin, about Russia, and about Ukraine as well. And so my function to provide a message which will deal with these misconceptions. And one misconception is that Mr. Putin is rational. And he is not, I would say, rational. He is a product of the KGB. And his father was in KGB. His grandfather was Stalin's cook. So you can imagine what kind of family he grew up. He was in ninth grade. He applied for a job in the KGB. KGB told him, go and get an education. That probably was the only good advice they gave in 75 years.
Yeah,
and, and so then he did that. He went to Leningrad State University and graduated from that and became a member of something called external surveillance. So that would be people who would make a hole in the newspaper and watch others who are kind of walking around in public parks and other public things. He didn't like that kind of job. He went to KGB Academy, which sounds like an oxymoron, and and then he was appointed to be a president and director of the Soviet-German Friendship House in Dresden, GDR, German Democratic Republic, which at that time was run by from Moscow and by the local communists as well. And he was that's why he got a kind of a loving nickname in KGB, Mr. Stasi. Stasi, as you know, maybe was an infamous East German police, which were killing Lutheran pastors and doing a lot of kind of bad things. And then he was recalled from Germany, and he popped. He retired as lieutenant colonel. He got the colonel's rank 10 minutes before he retired. And and then he began to play this role, strange role in Russian politics. And many analysts and myself, we believe that he was guided by the KGB from the very beginning, that he was a KGB kind of hitman. And sure enough, there are a lot of deaths around Mr. Putin. Mr. Putin was elected as a president of Russia in March of 2000 on relatively free elections at that time. Since then, he was rigging all elections, not because he would be afraid of losing, but he just likes to rig elections like some people like to go fishing. And
so for sport.
That's right. He's a control freak. That's absolutely for sure. And at that time, I wrote an article, which was published in some Russian publications, with a self-descriptive title, Meat Voted for a Meat Grinder. And why this some kind of gruesome title? Because KGB murdered anywhere from 43 to 61 million people. It was a huge kind of means machine, and so that's the reason I'm not traveling that way, because if I don't like, nobody cares whether I like Putin or not, but I would care if Mr. Putin dislikes me, then my life expectancy can drop like a rock.
Wow, you have characterized him in this. As among other things, delusional, irrational, and so on. Has that long been the case, or is that kind of a new development in terms of that, where he has taken on those kind of characteristics? Or, for instance, 20 years ago when he was first elected president of Russia, was he even then delusional, irrational, or not to the same extent?
I would say that at that time he was pretty secretive about what he really thinks. And so we don't know. I think he was delusional from when he joined the KGB. But from another hand, there was certain evolution in his arrogance, in his aggressiveness. I had a very dear friend who was a general of Soviet Medical Corps and then Russian Medical Corps. And I talked to him couple of months ago, and he said, you are accusing Mr. Putin that he's barking at everybody, but there is a Russian saying, barking dog never bites. And then he paused for a moment. He said, but that's only if the dog knows about it. And we don't know whether this dog, and he is a mad dog in Kremlin, that this mad dog in Kremlin, that he realizes that he shouldn't bite. Because if he would, the danger is 63 100 nuclear warheads in his disposal. And the people around him, he appointed all nobodies that he could find, made them from scratch to achieve their loyalty, because they don't have any merit of being where they are. And so that's why he is, it's a one-man show there in Kremlin.
Wow. And that one man running the show is a very, very scary individual. We're speaking with Dr. Yuri Maltsev, professor of economics at Carthage College. What would you say is his standing in Russia? I mean, by and large, what do the Russian people think of Mr. Putin? And particularly, what do they think of him now versus 20 years ago?
Well, some British intelligence telling us that about maybe 20-23% of Russians detest Mr. Putin and are in active opposition to him. And the rest, they are either passive supporters or just people who want not to cut their life expectancy. So that's how it works. I mean, I don't know about numbers, that how true these numbers are, but the very fact that, for example, Putin is accusing Ukrainians in neo-Nazism, that they're Nazis and whatnot, that he's kind of liberating them from this kind of continuation of the Second World War, that what he is doing. But if you will look how many Russians are in Ukrainian army, you would be surprised. There's so many Russian volunteers, so many. One regiment, very well known, called Azov Battalion. It's actually not battalion, but a regiment. It's almost all Russian.
Wow. Russians fighting for Ukraine.
Russians fighting for Ukraine. I would do if I wouldn't be too sick and too old.
And what is likely to happen to those Russians? I mean, have they, in a sense, had to leave Russia for the rest of their lives? I mean, how would someone doing that safely return to Russia?
I think most of them would be Ukrainian Russians. There's quite a lot of ethnic Russians living in Ukraine, as well as a lot of ethnic Ukrainians living in Russia. And these two nations were very close, culturally, language-wise even. History was a very hard and difficult history for both countries. But Ukraine right now, Ukraine became free. They have a fantastic president, Volodymyr Zelensky. If you will have time, just put his name in YouTube and you will watch wonderful dancing which he does. People call him a comedian. He was an actor, a movie actor. He was a producer, also movie producer. He was a great dancer, and he was a comedian as well, and extremely popular in Ukraine. A person without any political background at first, he got 73% of popular vote.
Wow. And it sounds like those gifts that he has as a producer and actor and comedian and so on, those gifts have served him well in leading Ukraine and even in leading Ukraine through this incredibly difficult period as they have tried to endure the assault of Russia. The fact that he is who he is with his talents, that's been important in terms of inspiring his country.
Exactly. Yes, I think Ukraine is very lucky to have him at this difficult time. And what is also, I would say, that's why many people respect him very much. He is quite a rich person because of his artistic career. He had a villa in Italy, and instead of taking his beautiful family there and escaping all this, he is keeping them, I would say, at the front. All of them are. So this is he goes to bed with a gun, and so this is the this is a very courageous person, definitely, and very young. And I think that's exactly what they need. And also another thing is that Putin is making the point about this neo-Nazism and whatnot, and how you can make this point if Mr. Zelensky, president of Ukraine, is practicing Jew and very devoted Jew. And Minister of Defense, Mr. Reznikov, is another Jew. And so you will find a lot of Jewish people, a lot of other minorities in his administration. And right now, I think he commands overwhelming public support, which is genuine, unlike the support for Mr. Putin.
Hmm. What you're describing reminds me of the stories of the King of England and his wife during World War II, mm-hmm. who very courageously decided to remain in London, and mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, their daughters as well, while many other Brits understandably fled to the countryside or sent their children in the presumed safety of the countryside. They remained in London with their compatriots, and it sounds like the head of Ukraine has chosen to do the same thing, demonstrating great courage.
True, and he is a great speaker, great representative of his country. He did a lot of the Zoom sessions with parliaments from all over the world. Just the last was South Korean parliament even. And sure enough, South Koreans are right now supplying Ukraine.
Hmm.
Because his point is, and I know that it maybe would be difficult for some of you to absorb this point of view, but his point of view that Ukraine is fighting for all of us. That it is not, that we are just the first line of defense. That the mad dog in Kremlin will never stop.
Hmm.
That if Ukraine would be crushed, then who is next? Mm-hmm. Who is on the list?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's his major. I mean, and I'm afraid that can be true because mm-hmm. we really don't know what is in Putin's head.
Right. One of the things we have heard about Russia ahead of this assault on Ukraine is how desperate its financial straits have been in recent years. Tell us more about the situation in Russia with its economy and so on, and to whatever extent you believe that was a significant contributing factor in Putin making this decision to attack Ukraine as he has.
Well, I think that Putin underestimated the unity of the West and the East, I mean, Japan, South Korea, and in opposing this naked, unprovoked aggression against sovereign country. But Putin is doing that not the first time. You remember in 2014, yes, he occupied Crimea. Then, if you remember also into his crimes, also should be added this downing down this Boeing 747 of the Malaysian Airlines, and so this is just a behavior which led to Putin of today, because we also should keep in mind the wars in Abkhazia, in Georgia, in Syria, and these wars were extremely, I would say, ruthless, because he is ruthless. He is killing children, born and unborn. I mean, look there to bomb maternity ward, which has a big red crosses on its roof, pediatric hospitals. It's kind of Hitlerite tactics.
Mm.
And sure enough, many people in Eastern Europe lovingly call him Putler.
Mm.
And but the sanctions, I think he underestimated that. There will be so many sanctions. Then the other thing is sanctions are bad for ordinary people, not for him. I don't think he changed his lifestyle or his menu or whatever, or his diet. No, I think this is but sanctions definitely already biting. For example, it's difficult to get out of Russia because most countries, they prohibited Russian even commercial airliners to go through the airspace. Then the parts, that's very, because a lot of Russian weaponry was made like together. For example, they had a joint venture with French company, and this and many other spare parts were imported from the West. Now they cannot do anything like that. So they already, even if there will be a permit to fly, they cannot fly because many of these aircrafts, they became unusable. But Putin, it looks like that was not a spontaneous decision about invading Ukraine, because he was preparing for that for almost 2 years, So he stockpiled, I think, a lot of weaponry and whatnot. And there was an interesting press conference recently with the Russian prisoners of war, senior officers who were captured by Ukrainians, and they had a press conference in Kyiv, and telling about how did it begin and whatnot. And amazingly enough, I never would think about this, that one officer, he told a story that they were captured near the Russian border by Ukrainian army. And the Ukrainian army decided to get rid of them, saying, just march to Russia. Just go to Russia, put hands on your head, and walk into Russia. And the soldiers, they began to shout, if you captured us, you should bring us to a concentration camp or somewhere else.
They would rather do that than go back to Russia.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Very, wow. Very interesting. Then also there was a General Radzianski who was a Russian, I would say, some kind of a butcher of northern Ukraine. And he was run by his own soldiers. They took the armored vehicle and got rid of him. So this is the morale, I think, is very low in Russian army. It's about anywhere from 15 to 20,000 Russian soldiers are already casualties of war, and they're being brought to Russia. And amazingly enough, it's only kind of in Russia could be that the case that they don't have enough resources or funds to bury them properly. It's very, very sad. And right, and then the Minister of Defense saying that we don't have money. That's just amazing. They passed a special law even in Russia that people can be buried in collective graves altogether. So that can be cheap for them. Yeah. So there's disrespect to human life in Ukraine and sufferings of Russians because of sanctions, because you cannot nor get money from the West nor send money anywhere. Then what they did, and some people here, they misunderstood it, that Mr. Putin, he made the point that 5,000 rubles can buy you 1 gram of gold. And so some even free market people were saying, oh, look, they're going to the gold standard. And also they have a new exchange rate between the ruble and the foreign currencies, which is pretty high. So some of them were saying, look, and the ruble is so sound. But they don't realize that this is a typical Russian trick. You cannot buy gold for 5,000 rubles or nothing. You can sell gold for this much to Russian government. You can sell your dollars, if you have any, to Russian government. You cannot buy dollars with that kind of thing. So this is so he practically nationalized or stolen a lot of people's savings, and that's very sad. Then Russia is very much divided in cities. He is very unpopular in big cities, especially in Moscow, St. Petersburg, Vladivostok. However, he is pretty popular in rural areas because the people there, they live like it's 19th century, never ended. And then also, I think that Mr. Putin, he to call him Mr. even, but I think that Putin, He believes that Russian people endured so much, say, during the Second World War or whatnot. They will endure everything. That's, I think, his hope is. And there right now, he is hunting the visible people who could be leaders in Russia. And he is locking them up. And he has this show trials about them. That Vladimir Karamurza, that's a very famous Russian journalist and a TV anchor, and whatever. He was just arrested last week. Then Mr. Navalny, as you remember him, he is being called. All the time they would come up with new accusations, and they would retry him. And so he already, I don't think he can get out if Mr. Putin will be in place. So
in other words, he's, in order to try to consolidate his power, he is also trying to eliminate, one way or another, anybody who could even be a potential threat or potential rival.
True, yes, absolutely. And that's the Stalinist tactics. And the Stalinist tactics is just kill people, then people would listen to you. That's in the Library of Congress. That's his resolution. That's amazing how awful these people are and were murdering people all over the world. It's just and Mr. Putin is also known in murdering people. Well, not all over the world, but mostly in the United Kingdom for some reason. Yes, if you remember Litvinenko, Skripal. So that's the Berezovsky. These are the people who fell victim to his security services.
Let me return to my original question just for a follow-up. So even ahead of these sanctions, which, as you have said, clearly are having impact on Russia, if not so much personally on Mr. Putin, but certainly on kind of the livelihood of the Russian people as a whole. Even before we were talking about those painful sanctions imposed on Russia, what was the state of affairs there? I guess even before the attack on Ukraine, at what was sort of the general state of affairs in Russia, particularly in terms of its economic well-being? My understanding is it was not in an economically sound place.
Yes, the Russian economy is very distorted. It's an economy based on mining and natural resources. That's what they do. They're just pumping oil and natural gas and a lot of other resources, for example, diamonds. They have quite a lot of that, iron ore, coaxing coal and whatnot. And so they lived on this. It was about 80% of the state budget the revenue would come from these mining industries. And that's quite a lot, because they would get about $1 billion a day by selling this thing. So that's today the NATO countries and Germany at last decided to think about it, how to cut its dependence on Russian sources of energy. So that's the that can definitely help. Russian people, however, lived very unevenly. They had billionaires. They had more billionaires at a certain point than in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, but then now he's taking care of billionaires as well, Mr. Putin, because many people would think that he is just a representative of these billionaires, oligarchs. And no, this is kind of, a Marxist delusion. He is in charge. And this year alone, not many people also know about that 11 of the so-called billionaires were murdered. 11 billionaires. Most of them would have suicides before that, killing their families and then committing suicides, like shooting themselves in the back of the head.
Wow.
And so that is, I think, unbelievable. When you have a criminal, a gangster, at the head of the country with so many resources. Mm. Well, Russian people, they lived very unevenly in the sense that many, I think Chekhov, a Russian writer, he wrote once that statistics is a great thing. One has two chicken, another none, but everybody has a chicken. And, that's exactly how Russian statistics is.
Twisted logic, yes. Yeah.
The gross domestic product of Russia is about $10,000, according to the CIA. $10,000, United States right now we have $64,000. Then, to tell the truth, I don't believe in CIA statistics. They're just not very good in that. Then Ukraine is even poorer, but Ukraine is a free country, and that's why there are so many Russians who moved to Ukraine, especially Russian dissidents. Because of the war, there are some estimates. Estimates would be that Russian economy would contract anywhere from 10% to 45%. Well, if the spread is so big, 10% to 45%, that means nobody actually knows.
Mm.
Yeah, if that would be 10% and 10.5%, then you could have a. So we don't know how. And besides that, it is not a market economy anymore. It is something which great Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises called a fascist economy. Mm. Fascist economy, that means it's top-down central planning on behalf of the... However, property is still owned kind of privately, but you cannot do anything with this property.
Mm.
You can have a title for something, but you can execute this title as much as you have title, say, for wetlands in the United States. So that, not much, yeah.
Right.
So then it's a government-controlled economy, and Putin is telling people when to open, when to close, whom to hire, whom to fire, when what prices to charge, what prices to pay. So this is these are the problems, definitely. Very serious.
You can understand why so many people would want to leave such a country, leave such a life behind.
Since 24th of February, since when he invaded Ukraine, the estimates are that about 100,000 people left.
Wow.
Russia, yes.
Wow.
You still can get out of Russia through Turkey and through Georgia or through China. Mm-hmm. But that's the...
We're speaking with Dr. Yuri Maltsev, professor of economics at Carthage College. In terms of how the war has gone, some would say that it is, obviously a great deal of damage has been inflicted on Ukraine and its people. And of course, there are really terrifying reports of the casualties there and so on. But it has not certainly been an overwhelming victory, of course, at this point for Russia. And if anything, I think a lot of onlookers are surprised by the tenacious resistance of Ukraine to this assault from Russia. How do you see the way this has played out thus far militaristically?
Yeah, I want to quote Mr. Zelensky again. He said, it never worked to send slaves to fight free people. And it's kind of true. Because right now there are so many volunteers in Ukraine and from outside of Ukraine. There are two Belarusian even units in Ukrainian army. While Belarus is supporting Putin officially. The chief of staff of Belarus, when Lukashenko, the dictator, ordered him to prepare expeditionary force to go to Ukraine, he wrote him back saying that there is absolutely no enthusiasm among our even senior officers about that. So I would advise you to fire them all, beginning with me.
Wow. Oh, boy. Wow.
That's very, yes. So people know what is going on. And Ukrainian people are, yeah, you're absolutely right, very resilient, very, because Putin's idea was first plan, according to, again, to the British intelligence, it was that Kyiv will be taken in 72 hours. Then they will put their own puppet there in Kyiv. And then they will divide Ukraine into three parts. The western part, which they call Galicia, and that will be Lviv. And then central part, that will be Ukraine itself. And eastern part, which would be a buffer for Russia, and the Russian kind of stooges would rule right there. And it didn't work. So now they came up with a plan B, which I don't think they had before, because hastily died. So now they attack only one place in Ukraine, the eastern Ukraine, city of Mariupol.
Yes.
And that's what is just unbelievable how many war crimes are being committed over there. But they moved out already out of say Kyiv area. Bucha was also another scene for the war crimes. Even to the point that people like, say, Boris Johnson or Anthony Blinken or who else was there? Lloyd Austin, our Secretary of Defense. So they are visiting. All the presidents, prime ministers of Eastern Europe are visiting Kyiv because it's already safe and whatnot. And it's very interesting that Lloyd Austin, he made an interesting point, which our diplomacy never made before, nor the president. President, he, I think, assessed Mr. Putin correctly, calling him a butcher, calling him a war criminal. But what Secretary Austin was saying, that United States right now have a stake in Ukraine winning. So in Ukraine winning, because that's the way to stop Putin from doing the same thing in the future. So he is very close in this understanding with President Zelensky of Ukraine, who believes that Ukraine is what, why should we support Ukraine? Because if we care about ourselves, we should.
Mm. If for no other reason than out of selfish interest, we need to support Ukraine.
Exactly.
I remember that we have had conversations in the past in which you were able to share what you have heard from friends of yours that are still, for instance, in Russia or in Ukraine, that you have been able to maintain contact with them via things like Facebook and so on. Is this still the case? I mean, are you, for instance, in contact with friends you have in Russia and Ukraine through this period? And if so, what are you hearing?
Well, Greg, I have also many friends, Russian friends and Ukrainian friends here in the United States. Mm. And most of us, we would not initiate a contact, because if you care about these people, it's better to stay kind of mute. You see what I mean? In a sense that if, because you never know what their NSA is doing. Yes, what kind of communications they monitor and whatnot, and so, and they can have a lot of. There is some Russians are on a Facebook, most left, but I think Putin prohibited most of this. They have their own. Platform called Odnoklassniki, that means schoolmates.
Oh.
Yeah, but it is run by FSB, by KGB, so they monitor everything there.
Wow.
And on the Facebook, I don't know how well or not, Putin made even a kind of like some threats against Mr. Zuckerberg and against Facebook, yes, that they are trying to. He especially is completely irate about Elon Musk, because Elon Musk, it's amazing what the private sector can do. Elon Musk is providing broadband to the whole Ukraine right now through his satellites.
Really? Yeah. I had not read that.
Amazing,
wow.
Yes, for free.
Wow. Yes. And of course that, yeah, that would be, that would drive Putin mad, I should think, to have something like that going on that is presumably out of his control.
True. And the Minister of Defense, Shoigu, Russian Minister of Defense, is accusing Musk of directing Ukrainian Air Force towards the targets, Russian targets in Ukraine. So that's, I don't know about that, but that's amazing. Yes, and Musk is pretty good in condemning this aggression, as well as a lot of others. There's so much, so many people are raising so much funds, and not I'm a reserve. I was a reserve officer, say, of a Russian army. Now I'm giving money to people who would fight this army.
Hmm.
So this is
And you're not alone.
That's right. That. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Of course. Mm-hmm.
If you were in a position to advise the leaders of the West in terms of how they could support Ukraine at this moment, would you want them, do you feel like they are doing what they need to do, and are they doing enough of it? Or would you advise them to do even more, and would you even advise them to step in more directly?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. And kind of looking into a rear mirror, I would say that we made mistakes, and the West made mistakes in not admitting Georgia at first and then Ukraine to NATO. Uh-huh. At that time, if we would do that, then Russia didn't have resources. They didn't have, Mr. Putin was not so vicious as he is right now. But now what we can do, I think we are doing what we can do, because definitely Third World War, that would bring an ultimate cost to the humankind, and we don't need to do that. But from another hand, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what he's thinking about, because definitely, if he will be cornered too much, then he can use whatever he will, just really like a mad dog, throw at us everything he has. So I think that we right now have kind of a balanced policy in this case. Then definitely the sooner Ukraine will join, say, European Union, at least, the better would be for European Union and for them. And so this is really very difficult to say. It's a kind of the brinkmanship, which needs a lot of diplomacy, definitely, and the unity of the West, yes. Mm. And this unity, I think, we're kind of achieving.
It's impressive, isn't it?
I think
a lot of us find it very striking. I do want to take a moment or two just to talk about an ancillary issue, but I am curious what you know about how, for instance, Russia has endured the COVID-19 pandemic, and what has their response to the pandemic been, and has that had any demonstrable effect on what we're talking about today?
Well, pandemic was another, I would say, kind of failure of Putin's administration to deal with this. At first, they came up with two different vaccines, Russian-made vaccines, and these vaccines, they're even worse than what we have, in the sense that people, I know people who would have three vaccinations and still have a breakthrough infection. So in Russia, however, it was even worse, because they were introducing lockdowns here or there, but they were largely ignored, because Russia is a very corrupt place. And so that's the mortality, COVID mortality, is pretty high in Russia. It was pretty high, and especially say in Belarus, which ignored it completely. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's these are the problems, because my sister is an immunologist in University of Chicago, and she believes that one of these vaccines is more or less okay, but the administration of it and and the speed with which they performed it didn't work very well for them. Yes,
but one more source of misery there in the beleaguered nation of Russia. Do you think it is at all possible that at some point Putin could be toppled, that he could, for instance, be assassinated? And or is that not an outrageous, far-fetched possibility?
Well, that's a very welcome possibility, definitely. But
I hope he's not listening to hear you say that. But,
but from another hand, I'm not so optimistic. In Russia, we'll say that pessimist is a better informed optimist, and I would say that if you will look at the career, say, of people like Lenin and Stalin, especially Stalin, he murdered, and on his watch, tens of millions of people were murdered, and there was not a single attempt on his life. So that's because he scared he was just like Cobra. He was scaring everybody around him. And also, if you will look at Mr. Putin, having his cabinet meetings, he sits at this humongous table. The table is like about 30 meters long, and all his ministers are on one side, and he is on the other. And
really?
It's not because of COVID. It's because he believes that if somebody would try to reach him from there, then they would be intercepted.
Wow.
So he is definitely pretty paranoid. He is. It's very interesting that also I discussed it with my sister. Then he became very puffy, his face. And she believes that it's a product of steroids. Steroids. And steroids are known also, if you take a lot of them, that they change your character. You change your, and you become pretty aggressive. Well, my explanation would be easier, that maybe that's not steroids, but just vodka. but I don't think vodka can make people more mellow or compassionate.
Right. Well, we, of course, are all impacted by the mind of Vladimir Putin and the dark actions that he has undertaken on behalf of Russia. And we're watching all of this, of course, with tremendous interest and concern. And in the midst of all of this awfulness, I am so glad that we could have this opportunity for you to shed some light on this situation. And I really appreciate that in the midst of your busy teaching career that you've made time for this conversation today on The Morning Show.
Thank you, Greg. It was a pleasure, as usual.
Dr. Yuri Maltsev, professor of economics at Carthage College. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we are going to be speaking with the author of a brand new book that talks about immigration. And on Thursday, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and on Friday, another Carthage colleague of the faculty, Dr. Artsir, will be joining us as well. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived on our website, wgtd.org. We're approaching 9 o'clock here on WGTD. Our weather forecast is for skies to become partly sunny today with a high of 48 degrees. Clear skies overnight, low all the way down to 28. Sunny tomorrow and a high of 43. Clouds on Thursday, sunshine on Friday. A pretty good chance of rain this weekend. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NP-